And we're in 2 Timothy 3. And we're going to do probably verses 2 and 3. That's chapter 3. And for tonight. And I think that's about all we'll get involved. We'll have time to get involved in. But and the study is 209. You know, last week we talked about it being 208, which would be 4 years even. But it was a little more than that because there's times that we didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
For one reason or the other.
Yeah, either I was out of town or you were sick.
And so here we are. And with Jack Everly's help still, we'll go ahead and get started. But I'm going to go back and read 3:1, and then we'll pick up with 3:2 for our study. It said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And so we talked about the good stuff already. So here it is, we're looking at things that God didn't consider with mankind as being all that great, because there was a lot of people that would not accept and understand his wisdom and truth concerning his words. And so we're going to talk about this tonight, but it's important, I think, that we do it, because it mentions it several times in several places. And let me get my glasses on where I can read a little better, and we'll go ahead and get involved and get started here on a warm Wednesday evening. Okay, 3:1 said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the last days could be pretty much any time for someone that knows Scripture and understands Scripture somewhat, because you know, we're never promised so many days, so last days could be anything. It could be well, I looked in the paper, and there was a couple in the paper that it was their last days this last week, so that I knew. And so that's the situation there. And then verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Wow. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." A long list. And this is not a grocery list, folks. It is the way people live their lives. And especially those that are without, as it says in Scripture a lot of times, that if you're without, then you don't have access to the Creator God that I know, and or His Son. And so I worked up my notes, and I'll just go ahead and do my notes. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy deals with charges connected with the apostasy, or the falling away. And it also, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 3, tells you about their character. So there's a falling away, and there's a characteristic that goes with that should stop and make us think a little bit. And sometimes if we're trying to witness to these people that I just read about in verse 2. It doesn't seem to be too important to those folks. And they don't see the need for the latter times. It's not very important to them. If you don't have a hope, then if you don't have a real hope that you can grasp or hold on to or believe, then it doesn't seem to be that big a thing. I'll just put it that way. And I'm going to start with verse 2. And it says, for man. And when you look that up, that is anthropos. And it's an individual human as opposed to an animal or something else like that. It is a men or man. It said they shall be lovers of their own selves. And that is an egotistical thing. Because we get the feeling like as we live and go about our business and do what we want to do rather than what God would have us to do, then we get a little pleasure out of that because of having the feeling of being free, in a sense. And that's just not so. That is a false feeling, in the sense that it doesn't really come from the heart. But it just comes from a person that wants to do what he wants to do and doesn't care. It says, as to see me as something more than God made me. And that was the situation with Satan. Because Satan, when he went with his five wheels over there in the Old Testament, he was saying, well, I'm not going to worry about the Creator. I'm just worried about me, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to take the place of the Son of God. And no, that doesn't work. And that doesn't really work with how God wants things done. It's just not working. And,
bad idea.
Philanthes is the word there that we kind of get out of that too somewhat. And the next word is covetous. And I put down, their love includes the rights, the riches of this world also. So, you know, if you're out there to try to make all you can, cheat people out of what they have and all this other stuff, and every day I always get these telephone calls, spam risk. And sometimes it's a number way off somewhere, or sometimes they'll get a local number and call it. Well, yesterday while I was doing this, I got a spam risk, and then a little bit later, I got a call that had a Wahala number. So I answered it. And it was you could tell he was a Spanish type person. And I said, okay, my friend, where do you live in Wahala? And he gave me an address in Wahala where he lived. And he says, I want to talk to you about your Medicare. And I said, well, no, I'm done talking with you because I know where you live and I know you may not be a spam artist. But I said, some of your buddies are. Or somebody that has grown up in the same place you do. And so I said, I'm done. I'll wait and talk with somebody that I can relate to a little better.
Yeah, if you don't initiate the call, it's hard to trust them.
Yeah. So, in verse 2 also has to do with dealing with things pertaining to a reprobate mind or a heathen or to heathen iniquities. And when we talk about that last word that I read, which is on the back page, let me go back and look at it. Oh, covetousness. And so, and then the next one is the word boasters. And that in the Greek is aladzon. Aladzon. And that's is Strong's 213. And it means vagrancy or pride in oneself, as what we would say a braggart would be, someone who would brag upon himself or look at himself as being something more than he really was. Proud. And proud is the next one, and that is Hooper or Hooper Ephanos. And that means the heathen iniquities. And the next one is blasphemers. And that is three different meanings in the Greek. And the Strong's is 987, 988, and 989. And it means a railing or speaking evil of against God. And it takes three different groupings there to get the meaning of that because it is so drawn out. Mm-hmm. Satan has drawn it out about as far as he could draw it out to try to get you to take this in and use it. According to his heathen iniquities. And then it is a railing or speaking evil against God and disobedient to parents. And I made a note here that says doesn't take heed unto those who love him. And I seen this in my own first cousin. My first cousin is in Florida, incarcerated for life without chance of parole because of the things that he did while he was in a motorcycle group. And they killed and raped this man and a woman that was about to get married. He just had to give her a diamond ring, and they was out on Clearwater Beach in Florida. And these three guys come by and decided they'd crash the party. And my cousin was one of them. And I put up with him for all these years, and when he was three or four or five years old, he was just that way. He wouldn't take any good response from anybody. It was just like he was possessed. And could be, I'm not
very
sure.
Very well could have been. Yeah.
And so, me and him had a lot of problems when he was in school and I was driving the school bus. And I tried to knock some sense in his head there, but that didn't work either. Yeah. And then we talk about one being unthankful. Acharistos. Unthankful. Acharistos. Unholy is the next one. And that again is those who do not accept God's grace, but hold on to the iniquity that they're in with all their might. They're not going to change their mind. You're wasting your time if you're dealing with them. And I can say that from the bottom of my heart, that I tried to do what was right with my cousin, but that was just, it's just like he had ears that wouldn't hear. And he certainly had eyes that wouldn't see.
Yeah.
And so here we are in this verse of scripture with someone or something that I was very familiar with in the sense of trying to grow up with him. And my grandmother was keeping him for her daughter so she could go to work. And boy, that was a trying time in my life too. And so here we are. Go through all these things. Lovers of themselves, 1, covetous, 2, boasters, 3, proud, 4, blasphemer, 5, disobedient to parents, 6, unthankful, 7, and unholy. 8 things that he talks about here. And this is not the only place he talks about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll read that when we get to Jack's. And so that's what I had in my notes. So we'll go ahead and look at it in the Koine Greek. And verse 2 says this. We'll be for men, lovers of self, lovers of money, boasting, proud, railers to parents, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. And Jack said the catalog of modern age men and their vices continues through verse 9 of this chapter. There is no better place to study the effects of the theology of Satan than here. If you find yourself being described in this list, there is no question that you have drifted from the head and have been caught in the waves of Satan's sea. Turn now, repent, and hold the head. He will direct you to himself for renewal of joy and fullness. Look what these love, Jack says, self and money. What is their attitude toward their predicament? Well, they're proud and boastful. Toward their fellow men, they are railers in disobedience to parents. Toward their Lord, they are unthankful and unholy. So Jack has a way of kind of mixing the bowl a little bit to make it really understandable in the situation that we have looked at here. And there's a few places that we need to look at. Not a whole lot, but enough to whet your appetite a little bit and see where the rest of the story is here for this verse of scripture. Because this is what Paul thought that, again, Timothy ought to remember. And so we'll go back and start with Mark 7 and Matthew and Mark chapter 7. Let me get back to it. Okay, in Mark 7, we're going to look at 7:20-23. And it's on page 1399. And he said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And so here again is more things that have been added to that list. And so, and some means probably the same thing too, but here we are. And so let's go from Mark 7 to the Gospel of Luke. And let's look at Luke 6, 35 and 36. And this is on page 1450. Yeah. 35 and 36 of chapter 6. And it says this, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." In verse 36 says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Amen. So, it's not like, well, take the stick and beat him to death. It's, you know, to show him that there's another side of this whole story. But that's a hard thing to do now. That's tough. But here we have this. Okay. And while we're on it here, in Luke, let's go to Luke 16 and get another little part of this. And we're going to look at verses 13 to 15 in Luke 16. That's on page 1483 if you have a companion Bible. Okay? 13 to 15 of verse 16. 1483 is the page number if you have a companion Bible. It says this, "No servant can serve two masters," full stop. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And 14, is, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are the which justifies yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts," full stop. "For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So he's giving the Pharisees their fair share of the word here in this verse, in these verses of scripture here in 16. Okay, we're not done. Let's go from Luke past Acts to Romans, and let's stop at Romans 1. And we're going to look at Romans 1, 28 through 31. Romans 1, 28 through 31, and that's, on page 1665. And it says this, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And that's a full stop. Think about that for a minute. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy." We can say full of murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, or things that go against God's will, disobedient to parents." In 31, it says, "without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful," full stop. Oh man, the list just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. Okay. And we'll go from there to 1 Corinthians. Okay, let me get to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 5. Chapter 5, 9 through 11. This is on page 1703 if you have a companion Bible. 5, chapter 5, 9 through 11. And Paul says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." And that's full stop. "Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye need go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not know not to eat." So he says, don't sit down with these people at the table. They are not worthy of your company if you're a believer in Christ. Okay. That was 1 Corinthians. Okay, the next one is in Ephesians. We're going to go from Galatians to Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 5 through 8. And that's on page 1768. Ephesians 5, 5 through 8. And it says this, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words." Full stop. Wow. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Let's see. In verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Full stop. Well, if you are light in the Lord, then you would be expected to walk as children of light. That's verse 8 in Ephesians 5. Okay, the next one is in 1 Timothy. So you see, what we read to start off with was certainly not all the story, because Paul had wrote most of these himself, not, of course, with Matthew and Mark and Luke, and but the rest probably he did. And the list just kind of seems to go on and on. 1 Timothy, one verse. No, to start with, one verse. 1 Timothy 1, 9, on page 1800. Knowing this, he says, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mother, and for manslayers. That's just one verse of scripture. But it goes on. 10 kind of gives an enlargement even upon verse 9. It says, for whoremongers and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons, and if there be any other that is contrary to sound doctrine. Wow. Paul didn't mince words, especially when he got into 1 Timothy. Okay, and now there's another one. Well, let's just read on, because the next one is still in the first chapter, but it's verse 13. Now let's just read 12 and 13. Or 11, 12, and 13. It said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before? Okay, so Paul is saying, well, yeah, man, I was guilty too. Who was before a blasphemer? And it certainly, Paul was, and a persecutor and injures. He said, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And a lot of these people that we're talking about are in unbelief. They did it ignorantly because they didn't know the wisdom of God's truth concerning him nor his son. Boy. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy 6 and read verse 10 through 12. 1 Timothy 6, and we're going to read 10 through 12, and this is on page 1807. It says this, for the root of money is the root of all evil. Full stop. Well, which while some covet after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Wow. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It can't be found in any of these other words. It just don't fit. It's not God's vocabulary for himself. It is for those who cannot see and cannot hear and cannot believe. Okay. We got one or two more. One more. We're going to go down to the book of James, which is after Hebrews. And we're going to go to James 4, 14 through 17. That's on page 1853, if you have a companion Bible. 14 through 17, top of the page. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Wow. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Living in sin means, wait a minute, we need to stop and turn around and go back to these things that God has told us about. Okay. That pretty much covers that verse of scripture in verse 3-2. So let's go back to 2 Timothy. And read 3:3. And 2 Timothy 3:3 says this. And it carries on. Because 2 wasn't all of the answers. And 3 says, without natural affection. Oh, we hit on that. Truth breakers. Meaning you can't believe what one says. If they say, well, yeah, I'll do this or I'll do that, and then won't do it, you know. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And the list continues on. Because we got to go down through verse 9 to get it all, but we can't do it tonight.
It's amazing how many different ways you can come up with to describe what's wrong.
What's wrong in this world? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
The list is long but distinguished.
Yeah. It's long. Yes, it is. And so I'll read my notes. It says, without natural affection. And that deals with our senses. And And also it deals with how we got here with our mothers and fathers and their ESP. Now, men don't have a lot of ESP, extrasensory perception. But I think this is a gift of God that He gave to mothers, because they seem to know exactly what a young person or a child needs, even before us guys.
They hook up, yeah.
Yeah, the hookup there is within their heart. See? You know, because what it takes to have a child, us men don't know a whole lot about that as far as reality goes. But with women, it seems to be a different situation. And it says, their love has been overtaken by Satan's force and driven by it. So if mother and father don't seem to love their own child, where does that put them? That put them in the most, and it puts that whole family in the most terrible situation of anything that I can think of.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like I've been there. Because it got to a point at one time to where my mom and dad went to court to see who got who. And that again is not a good thing. Even if Pickens County, South Carolina did it back in 1945. It has bothered me all of my life. And I've come to feel unneeded, unwanted, and a lot of different things for a long time until God sent me my wife, who had enough ESP for three or four people.
Well, that she did.
Or more.
That she did.
Okay. Truth breakers. In the Greek, it is aspondos, one who will make a vow with no determination to keep it. Have you known people like that? They'd promise you anything. You say, oh yeah, if you will, I will. And then turn around and do right the opposite. I grew up with that. False accusers. And buddy, if we have ever been in these latter days in a state of false accusers, we are there now.
Amen.
Let me tell you about false accusers a little bit. It is the way to lie and to place blame upon anyone but themselves. And you can sit in front of the television every day and see these people are supposed to be wanting to be overs, or some have been overs, and some want to be overs again. And that's the way they operate. That's their modus. That's the way they were. Well, I trusted in this guy that I paid to do this for me or that for me. Well, that's not going to go very far. A way to place blame upon anyone but themselves. You know what it's known as, these false accusers? In the Greek, diablos. Oh, That means Satan. You see, Satan was the first false accuser to mankind with Adam and Eve in the garden. Diablos, known as Satan. Whoa. Incontinent. Archites. Those who work to defraud others out of their worldly gain. My telephone rings 3 or 4 times a day. Spam risk. Spam risk. Spam risk. And what they're wanting to do is to get you involved in some way to relieve you of what you have put away or in your pocket. The next word is fierce. And it's animorosis. That's Strong's 434. And it means a savage. One completely overtaken in mind and body. And that's what they call these Hamas people. They say they act as savages. It's like they have no sense of any kind of law ever. It's like, well, they make it up as they go along. And when they do hide, they hide behind somebody else, or they hide under a hospital, or under some place that they know is not going to become bummed, or they, at least they think they know it's not going to become bummed. A savage, one completely overtaken in mind and body. And despised. And despised in the Greek is aphilagos. That's Strong's 865, that which is hostile to virtue. Of those who are good. Hostile to virtue of those who that are good. And so we got all these things here that I wrote about. Now let me read you what Jack wrote in verse 3. And it's without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, incontinent, savage, not lovers of good. These people do not love their wives or husbands or parents and children as normal folk do. They will not forgive or change from their hatred. They are set in their evil natures. They have no control and cannot keep promises or obligations. They are prone to bodily harm and injury of those who are around them or even to themselves. They certainly have no desire to know or to worship God. And we got 4 things to read here. And boy, this is coming out pretty close to my time. Okay, turn with me back, if you will, to Matthew 23. We started in a while ago in Mark, but we're going to go back to Matthew 23. Matthew 25, I'm sorry. I guess. Matthew 25, let me see. No, Matthew 23:25. I had it right to begin with. Matthew 23:25. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. I said, so I guess the lesson for that is, you're not going to have a clean inside unless you start with the outside and clean the inside Amen. With the inside. And so I think that's a good lesson. That was on page 1363, I meant to tell you. Now I want to go back to Romans again. Instead of Romans 1, I want to go to Romans 2. No, Romans 1, 2 through 5. Okay, let me get to Romans 1. Romans 1, 2 through 5. It's on page 1662. I'll just read one, too. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So you see, the prophets in the Holy Scriptures or in the Old Testament were the ones that was being directed by the wisdom of God to talk about his son when his son come for all mankind by this Jesus Christ. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Okay, that was Romans. Then we want to go back to 1 Corinthians, but this time it's 1 Corinthians 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, we're talking about verse 5 on 1708. First Corinthians 7:5. No, it's page 1707, I guess. Well, no, let's go back another page. 7:5. I'm looking for 7:5. There we go. 1706. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. for you in contingency. So, and then Paul goes on to say, but I speak this by permission and not of a commandment. So, he says, you know, if you're going to get involved in dealings with your family or your brother or for the those you love or have need to be with, you need to do it in a way that's reasonable unto God. Then we go from there to Titus. And we hadn't been in Titus yet. So, one more, folks, and we'll be done. So in Titus 1:6, Titus 1 verse 6 through 8. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. 6 through 8. That's what we should be looking for. That's what we should be dealing with. Instead of all these other things that we read about that are against the will of God and against His way of doing things. So, I know this is negative talk, and I know it's negative things, but Paul certainly wanted Timothy to remember these things, or it would not have been in these epistles that he wrote to Timothy and these other folks that were there to do God's bidding through the way he chose to show man his will and his love through his word. And so we'll end with that, pick up with 4 and 5, I guess, the next time. And it's still negative. It still goes on in a negative fashion. But you see, when you look at it and when you read it and you realize the negativity that's there, then you realize the need for the love that needs to be there too.
Amen.
And so,
only one force that can overcome it all.
Right. And I think that's the reason we have it written the way it is written. And so you can't argue with the way God does things. There's no point in it anyway. And so that's what we have. And negative as it may be, we look around us and we realize this is kind of the situation we're in. And I think we can kind of look and see and say, well, you know, this might be the latter times too, or the latter days. Ever how you want to put it in words that way, because it's perilous, to say the least. That it sounds like there's nothing good out there.
Amen.
And, but I hope that that's not true, because I do know that God is still in control. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your love. And again, remember Ronnie and his birthday today. And hope that we have a better day tomorrow. God bless.